I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you, Earl. Welcome back, Brant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Got a shout-out, Earl Forsey was taking Madam President to the playground yesterday. That's the Sunday tradition. I wake up, I do my baseball show from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. I get done right at 10, go upstairs, grab the baby. We go to the park nearby. We get on the swings and the slide. She has a fun time. I do some daddy stuff for like an hour, Danny, because I know I'm going to be useless and the worst husband
on the
planet the rest of the day. But I was driving, and Earl Forsey with those pipes was talking football. And I just, as I tweeted yesterday, I remember him talking about Liddell Betts and Trey Johnson. That's number one. And number two, I get pumped. I could listen to Earl talk football pregame every single year until I die. I hope that happens.
I start looking at my watch around 10:45, 11 o'clock. Basically, you know, like anytime I'm present with the wife or the kids, basically like, what do you want me to do now? I'm available. You want them outside? You want them inside? You want an arts and crafts project? You want to build something? You want to just play catch, shoot hoops, change a diaper? I'm here. The countdown is on. I've already done my fantasy tinkering. I benched one guy, got an injury report update. I'm good to go. You got me until 12:56. And after that, you could come down and see me if you'd like, but you know where I'm going to be in the exact same spot for hours and hours and hours and hours.
Yesterday was still exciting for me. I know that the Giants are terrible, and Washington is, I would say, not much better. But after yesterday, after losing, I guess as bad or worse or whatever you want to say, didn't matter. The fact that those teams are a combined 2-10, that it was going to be sloppy and ugly, and the first team to score 20 points wins. All day long, I was just excited. I get 16 of them, and I was pumped. So it was a good day of content on the station. Earl did a great job, and JP, Logan Paulson have a really good pregame show if you haven't heard it. Pete does an awesome job postgame with Logan. So make sure on Sundays you keep it right here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll get into Kyle Allen and compare him to Dwayne Haskins coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. I know a lot of people want to talk quarterback play after Allen's first full start, and that's fair. Let's talk Rivera for a second, though, because they're 1-5, just like they were last year through six games. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a time when this team started 1-5 back-to-back years. I mean, we've had some lean, awful, bad times around here, but it was all supposed to be different. You know, the culture was changing, and the upgrade and talent and coaching was going to improve the guys that you already had, and it's the exact same record as when you blew out a coach last year. Rivera, so aggressive. The plane lands, and he immediately starts saying, let's go for fourth down.
He just keeps going for it.
Fourth and one from the 48-yard line, 3 minutes into the game. We're going for it. And they get it, so good for him. Took a penalty on fourth and four and crumbled it up and threw it in the garbage that negated a punt that pinned the Giants at the one late in the second quarter. So instead of giving the Giants the ball back with 1:11 to go in the second and the ball at their own one and trying to maybe, get a safety or something, he sends his offense back out onto the field for fourth and four from the plus 40, and they end up convert. I thought that was the first really good play for Kyle Allen. I mean, he had some okay throws before that.
That was a great play.
It was awesome. He extends the play. He shucks a defender who kind of fell at his waist. He's running out of room toward the sideline, and I'm thinking, this is a debacle. What is happening here? And then he fires 15 yards downfield on the run to Dontrell Inman, who made a nice catch in traffic. Really, really nice. How about the challenge from Rivera with 13 minutes to go on the third and six? Again, a great play by Kyle Allen. He makes some of those athletic plays. The scramble, yep. Remember? The Colt McCoy-like third and six.
And that's where
he's
is,
like
by the
running
way.
Around, and he, He throws the ball out as he's getting whirled to the ground. Rivera right away didn't hesitate, threw the challenge flag and won it. I thought that was big from him. And then, of course, you go for the two-point conversion. That didn't work. It backfired. But I was in lockstep with him on all those decisions, I got to agree. Generally, if you're aggressive, like you're going for fourth down, I'm going to be with you. You're going for two, especially when you're 1-4, I'm going to be with you. I don't know where you're at on all those, but me and Rivera were working in unison yesterday.
Absolutely. I am all for those sorts of things. I mean, just that one Kyle Allen play you mentioned ends up being awesome. You know what it reminded me of? And tell me if you buy this. You know, sometimes an outfielder like reacts the wrong way on a fly ball or a line drive or something, then has to like beat feet and get back, and then still sometimes makes a great catch, turns a normal play into a great play. Allen had Terry McLaurin quickly. If you wanted to just throw it quickly, first down, everything's fine. Then a defender peels off, Allen holds onto the ball, then makes this amazing play to get out of trouble for the fourth down. So it all ends well. The play gets made, but you're kind of going, why turn down your best offensive player if you had him quickly out there in space right past the first down sticks? But I'm with you on Rivera. I what I like the most about him, it's twofold. There's one and maybe even 1A. Thing number one is the mix of demanding and understanding. This is a human being. This is not a, why am I blanking on the guy's name? Former Giants coach, crazy person, makes people show up an hour early.
Tom Coughlin,
thank you. I kept thinking of Billy. That's not Billy. That's not even a person.
Billy Coughlin.
Billy Coughlin's a great coach. So anyway, he's a regular human being who understands things, right? He's a gentleman. He is a good dude, but he's also demanding. He doesn't compromise. They need some of that kind of culture here and have needed it, frankly, for some time. Instead of this weird, back patting, good old boys network and a bunch of buddies and, how soft it's been. They need some discipline. They also need someone who's a human being. He has that mix. I like him an awful lot as a person, as a character guy. The second thing is he ain't afraid. And we've talked about this ad nauseum. We'll continue to talk about it. He is not afraid to do the thing that he thinks is the best thing to do. He doesn't care about the press conference afterwards. Doesn't care about you and me being like, could you believe? Let's second guess the decision. He does not care about that sort of stuff. He is his own guy, and I'm all about that. Now, sometimes it's going to work out very poorly. Like, I disagree with a certain decision, and we know where I'm probably going with this. But individual decisions that he makes over the course, I love the fact that he is here to do it Ron Rivera's way.
Yeah, I wish they'd have gotten the two-point conversion, because then you are the hero and people see, okay, I get why you did it. Everyone kind of works back from the fear of the result. Even if you're not second-guessing and you're saying before he goes for two there, don't do this. It's the fear of the result. What's really the difference at the end of the day between being 2-4 and 1-5? And you could say, well, in this division, it's massive. They're not winning the East. I mean, what about yesterday made you think they could win the NFC East? And let's say somehow, some way, based on everyone else being more hurt or just getting worse, they somehow at 6-10 or 7-9, which might have been the ceiling had they have won yesterday, they somehow do win the division. What does that get you? A meeting with a team that actually should be in the playoffs that destroys you in the postseason and that somehow makes you better off? So I got no problem going for the win there, in that if you get it and your team earns it and they get the victory, cool. But if you don't get that, the fear is, well, let's play for overtime. Let's see if we can beat them in overtime. No, if we lose this game, so what? So we left it on the line and we tried to send a message, and I'm cool with that. I guess the only issue is if the timeout things had never happened at the beginning of this year, then I think most of what he has done is kind of in alignment. But the timeouts did happen.
And the quiz.
The quiz, that's true. Haskins-related stuff, I think, is in its own category, honestly. Because, again, I think this is going to be his – Mike Shanahan staked his reputation on John Beck and Rex Grossman. That's what this is going to be. Like, I've gotten a bunch of tweets. Someone was on hold, and they didn't actually bring this up. But in the call screener, when I'd went to him, it said that they were going to bring up the fact that, Rivera gets a gasser because he's 0-2 since he went to Kyle Allen so that they could win. And I think that's what's going to happen. Like, Michael Phillips, who I love, and I hope we have on the show this week, he said something like this past week. And I think this is a very reasonable take for fans, for media, whatever. Rivera said publicly, we're doing this to win the division. If you lose these games, you were wrong and we'll kill you for it. Okay, fine, I guess. this is going to be the Mike Shanahan thought John Beck and Rex Grossman were players he could win a championship with. He didn't think that. He just said that. And people to this day hold it against him as if he misevaluated the quarterbacks. I know for a fact what he thought. I remember him telling me. But he didn't say it publicly because
right.
I guess he didn't want to come out at the podium and say, yeah, our quarterbacks suck and we have no chance. But to this day, people go, remember when Shanahan thought Beck and Grossman could win? So to me, I think what's going to happen is, and this is where if I was a coach, assuming I wasn't completely eviscerating a player or my team or whatever, I would just be a little bit more honest. Like, I said this at the time, and I still believe this. I don't think Ron Rivera thought Washington could win the division necessarily. I don't think that's what this was about. I think he didn't want to keep playing Haskins because he was annoyed with how he acted at the facility all week, and he didn't think he was any good. He didn't want to say that. But that's what I believe is the truth, and I think this is going to be his Grossman-Beck thing.
You're right. And if that's the simplest and most correct explanation, which makes perfect sense, by the way. I mean, again, the actions tell you. If this was, we're still very concerned with, in terms of how we're going to occupy our time this year, with the development of last year's first-round pick. Granted, who I inherited, by the way. We're still very concerned about that. We're going to make that a priority, recognizing how crazy these last couple of years have been, this offseason, lack of time on the grass, new system, et cetera. We're going right now with the guy we're more comfortable with, but Haskins will be our number two. He'll be our backup. He'll still get some of the reps. They put him in the wilderness. They put him in street clothes during the game and throw to a practice squad tight end after the practice. They told you everything that they think, right? So you're right. It's not necessarily always about, we're going to win all the games. We're going to see what we can do. This guy gives us the best chance. This is way more about, I'm sick of this guy's act. Now, I disagree with that, by the way. I think you need to roll up your sleeves and coach harder. I think you need to make sure this is there's a point to all this. But yeah, you're right. I think there's more than just, we think we can win the division. Maybe you do. Maybe the division is terrible, but I think this was more Haskins-related than anything else.
What'd you think of Ron Rivera's day yesterday? 800-636-1067. As Washington fell to 1-5, lost a fifth straight game. He went for two at the end. Did you like or dislike that decision? We're Grant and Danny.
Guys, this is Grant and Danny for our pals at Window Nation. You can feel it in the air tonight. Whoa, temperature starting to drop. Air getting crisper. Farmer's Almanac predicting a freezing cold and snowy winter. Is your home prepared? Dipping temps, howling winds, rain, sleet, snow. It's all coming very soon. And Window Nation is here to help you the way they helped us, to help you beat that cold weather this winter by offering quality, climate-constructed, expertly installed windows for as low as $2 a day, GP.
It's a big deal, man. $2 a day. Think about
it's good.
Things you spend $2 on and how unnecessary they are. Just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll spend $2 on that. You want some windows? Do that. That's better. Call today. Get two free windows with every two you buy. Buy four, get four, no limit. Plus, get a house of windows installed for as low as $75 a month. You got to call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, so you can save thousands on heating bills alone while improving the look and feel of your number one investment, your home. It's windownation.com, 866-90-NATION. Tell them Grant and Danny sent. He's Danny, I'm Grant, you're listening to The Fan. Sadiq Charles, we had talked about for several weeks, what if he played in practice just once? What if he strung together two or three straight practices? I'm not going to make light of his injury, but I got to tell you, it was a dagger to see that literally two snaps in. I mean, he is the latest of the young Washington football players that we over-talk about. And I'm not joning on JP, but I think it was one of the first questions he asked me pregame. He said, are you excited for the Sadiq Charles experiment? You know, everyone was putting him over on social media, and he kind of tongue-in-cheek said, is he the savior? Two plays into the game, literally on the second play, he hurt his knee and he was done for the day. Oh, by the way, before the end of the game, Antonio Gandy-Gold and Isaiah Wright got hurt as well, so we're awaiting updates on those guys. Not a great day for the health of the rookie class.
I can't do these things. I've been burned too many times as a Washington football fan. The number of times over the years that I heard so many, you know, whether it's Ted Leonsis pixels or words or, you know, hype, off-season, whatever, about the Malcolm Kellys of the world, about the Chase Minifields of the world, about, you know, and now Sadiq Charles is the latest and the greatest because the opportunity is there, right? Because this position group that he's in is garbage. It's not very good. It's among the worst in the league by the smart people that grade these sorts of things. And the opportunity is there. The guy that was first string a couple weeks ago is now third string. They don't want his butt on the field ever again. Wes Martin got Haskins, and now it's Sadiq Charles' turn, and he lasted two games. Or two plays, rather. I can't buy into the hype for anybody anymore. You know, just the number of times that you get burnt. And again, I feel bad. I don't mean to make light of his injury. I hope he's okay, obviously, and I'm sure it's frustrating for him. But, like, the amount of, just wait till we see Josh Doctson. I'd like to keep waiting. You know what I mean? I've had enough of these sorts of hype things, because the big promise of something special coming and the under-delivering is the hallmark of this organization.
And part of it, and I'm not blaming you, is you know, it's just a frustration with hearing that someone could be good. Like, nobody is saying this is this happens with a bad team. I don't think anybody's saying Sadiq Charles is a Pro Bowl offensive lineman.
I think
people are saying he might be better than Wes Martin. If he gets to play, he might show that. Like, same thing with Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen throws a pick yesterday, and everyone's going, see, as if someone thought he was going to be great. As if the idea was, well, now they've got their Joe Burrow. They went to Kyle Allen. Like, so much joning after his fumble. At least he knows the offense. Entire shtick. He's Kyle Allen. I guess keep those in the chamber. You're going to get to use them 50 times this year. He's not that good. But the point was, maybe he's better than terrible. You know, maybe Sadiq Charles is better than giving up four sacks to Aaron Donald last week. So I get why, whether it's the beat reporters or the media or whoever, you know, speculates on these guys. I get why they do it. But as a fan, it can be very exhausting and frustrating. You know, this guy didn't get a gasser, but perhaps he should have. Dustin Hopkins came back to hit a couple of field goals on chippies. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy. Yeah.
The missed 47-yarder on the first drive.
Stung.
Big. And it ended up, obviously, potentially costing you the game. You know, you never pin things on a play or a couple of plays. But if you just go back to how it all played out, they came out, they moved the ball, they get into field goal range. 47 yards for him, that is something he's got to hit, and frankly he has throughout the majority of his career. But he's missed a kick in at least three, if not four games now this year. And that kick being missed obviously was the difference on the scoreboard in the end, and never really got mentioned again on the broadcast.
Yeah, if you miss a kick for Kansas City, it'll all be fine, probably. But when points are at a premium for one of the worst offenses in the sport, we're sitting there going, oh, my God, he missed that kick. I know it's going to come back to haunt us. And, of course, it did. When two teams with one combined win entering week six are going after it, it's going to be a factor if you leave 3 points on the field. Legitimate NFL offense, it's barely a blip if a guy misses a 47-yarder on the first possession. Well, just come right back and march down the field and put points on the board. But we know points are going to be at a premium for this horrible offense. Both these offenses, frankly, that played in this game on Sunday all season long. So you're right, it ends up being that much more pronounced.
One good, one bad here. I don't know if they raised to the ability of game ball and gasser. I liked Danny Johnson. I thought he was great on special teams yesterday. He had the downed punt at the one
day,
that didn't count, made a couple tackles, had a couple good returns on kicks, gave him great field position on the opening kickoff. And then just for you, this one just to kind of get you going a little bit here, Danny. Mm-hmm. Your boy Peyton Barber reemerged.
Good to see him.
Peyton Barber yesterday with his four carries for 6 yards on the season now, 28 rushes, 47 yards, 1.7 a pop.
Where can you find that? Where can you find someone to do that for you? They're hard to find. It's hard to unearth those kinds of guys, right? To make sure that someone can't get you 2 yards a carry. You got to search high and low. You got to find, you got to unearth this kind of talent. You got to unearth these kinds of dynamic presences. Every time he carries the football, it makes me sad. I get both those other guys retired because they were running around a lot. But, I just wish I didn't have to see it.
That's a good point, actually, because in my mind I'm going, I don't know why he played, but you just kind of answered my question. When you run that many routes, they were running routes constantly, wheels up the sideline. Like, you do get tired. It's not Madden where it's just I'll just keep playing this guy even though he's at 6% energy. Yeah.
11 targets between them, but think about the routes run, too. I don't have those numbers, but it was a non-zero number, right?
Although,
it wasn't just all 11 targets.
His four carries were on the first 23 plays. He didn't play later in the game. So it's almost like it was designed, maybe this is a Peyton Barber week. He was on the field a handful of plays into the game.
We think it's a good matchup, said people that I no longer trust to evaluate things.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan in the 12 o'clock hour will put the spotlight on Kyle Allen and the quarterback position. 800-636-1067 is the number. if you want to hop in on a Football Monday. If you want to tell us what you thought of Ron Rivera's two-point conversion, we are here for you as well. The division stinks. We can get into how the NFC East fared yesterday and look around the NFL as well next. It is a Football Monday, and it might be more of Football Monday than any Monday we've ever footballed before, because you got a day game a couple hours after we get off the air today. The Chiefs are playing the Bills at 5 o'clock on CBS, and then Monday Night Football tonight, the old double dip. ESPN, you got the Cardinals and the Cowboys from Dallas, the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton taking over for Dak Prescott against Arizona. So four teams in action, couple of games on the Monday night slate. Let's go around the league with some of yesterday's big storylines. The nationally televised 4 o'clock game. And by the way, the NFL can kick rocks. They gave us two games yesterday at 4, decided by a combined 28 plus 24, carry the number. I think that's like 50-some
52.
Points.
52.
Thank you, sir. The Dolphins and the Jets were one of the two games we had in the 4 o'clock window with Joe Flacco leading the 0-6 Jets, who's awful, and I can't believe he's still in the league, and it's embarrassing to watch him, and frankly, it's offensive that I had to watch him yesterday. I'm bothered by that. But anyway, we had one game that should have been entertaining, started out fine, and then was a blowout. The Bucks 38-10 over Green Bay. Packers came crashing back down to earth. Aaron Rodgers, 16 of 35 yesterday, 160 yards and two interceptions. He was one of the front runners for MVP. He was maybe as bad a quarterback as there was in the league on Sunday. The Bucks give him a lot of credit, harassed the heck out of him, 5 sacks. Tom Brady threw for a 166 and a pair. And Rob Gronkowski got involved, 5 catches, 78 yards and a touchdown. After the game, Brady thrilled for Gronk.
Yeah, he played great today, and got to try to keep getting him and Cam the ball. The tight ends, you know, can really help us out. The back can help us out. It takes pressure off the receivers, and we just got to keep building and growing, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. We just got to show up every day, try to get better, learn from the mistakes, and, you know, see if we can go win on the road here, which has been tough for us.
Baffling, in retrospect, that loss to the Chicago Bears and how poorly they played. Check this out about the Bucks. This is a nugget from Jeff Darlington, Jeeps. The Bucks were only the second team in the last 20 seasons to have 10-plus takeaways, 20-plus sacks, and allow fewer than 70 rushing yards per game in their first 6 games. The only other team to do that is the 2008 Super Bowl champion, Pittsburgh Steelers, with that excellent defense back then. Tampa's defense is really good, and they need to be better on offense and more consistent as they get some guys back healthy. I think they will be, but Tampa's defense is the truth. You saw it yesterday.
Might have been a good thing for Green Bay to get exposed and woken up a little bit.
Yeah, a little
bit,
right?
Not going to be easy for them all year. Speaking of Pittsburgh, their defense wasn't just great back then. It is still great. The Browns, one of those matchups where you get to see, you're starting to feel yourself.
What's real here?
Can I beat up my older brother? I just came home from college, got into a couple of bar fights, handled myself against some frat boys. They got punched in the face and knocked down. Baker Mayfield, yuck, benched in the game after 3 quarters. 10 of 18, buck 19, a touchdown, 2 picks. One of them was a pick six. He threw the ball, and there was a score early. It was just thrown to Minkah Fitzpatrick of the Steelers.
Out of the gun on third down. He's intercepted. It is an open field straight ahead for the run back and the touchdown, and it's Minkah Fitzpatrick.
James Conner runs for 100 and a touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger didn't have to do much. He made a couple of really nifty throws.
He did,
14 completions, buck 62, and a touch. And I got to give Danny Ruye plenty of credit here. Your guy, Chase Claypool, is a baller. 4 grabs, 74 yards. Claypool also rushed for a touchdown yesterday.
I just love him so much. Cleveland's played two good teams, maybe great teams, depending on your perspective. They've been outscored in those two games 76-13. The other games that they've won have been against mediocre to really poor football teams. Bengals, Washington, Dallas. I think the Colts are okay. That was the impressive win on their ledger. Other than that, ew, two good teams, two destructions at the hand of those good teams. Those are going to sting a little bit.
There were some bad quarterbacking performances yesterday. Mayfield, one of the few guys that got benched for it. You know, Cousins threw 3 picks in the first half. Rodgers, I mentioned, stunk. Those guys got to stay in the game. But Kevin Stefanski afterwards was talking about why he benched Baker Mayfield And this is what the Browns head coach had to say about that.
Injury-wise, really got out of it okay. You know, Baker there, you know, I didn't want to see him get hit one more time. And that's, I put that on myself. Went into this game knowing we had to keep him clean and we didn't do a good enough job. So that starts with me, obviously. And he's a very, very tough player. And I know he wants to fight, but it's a long season. We got a game next week and I didn't feel like it was the right thing to put him back out there.
Browns come back down to earth as well. It was that kind of day. Throw them in that Green Bay bucket. Chicago keeps winning. The Bears are 5-1.
Right in my
Carolina
face.
Was the sexy pick. They got exposed a little bit. Teddy Bridgewater threw two interceptions at a quarterback rating of 50. Couldn't get a lot going on the ground with Mike Davis, who was held to 52 yards, did rush for a touchdown. Robbie Anderson got his 77 yards. DJ Moore had 93, breakout game for him. But the story here was Chicago, as they got off to a pretty fast start, had an early 10-3 lead. They made it 20-6 going into garbage time before Carolina started to get back into the game. Nick Foles, 23 of 39, 198, a touch and a pick. Very jaggy, just average. After the game, though, a Nick Foles talking about Chicago and about where the Bears are after a 7-point win, Danny. 5 wins in their 6 games.
Well, I first say, would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly. You know, I think that's the common thing. So I think it tells you a lot about our team. Is this who we are offensively? We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to have rhythm. But ultimately in the NFL, it's about winning games. It doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you get it done. If you put up 50 points and you lose a game, those 50 points don't mean anything. So right now we're winning games. We're playing together as a team. We can improve. I think that's exciting. If we were winning these games and playing perfect and they were this tight and we're playing perfect, what do you do? Where do you improve? I mean, then we're sitting here as like, man, I guess when we just, you know, play those teams, it's just not going to happen. Well, right now we have a lot of areas to improve offensively once again, but we are figuring out ways to, you know, score and get points and move the ball and do those things.
4 sacks. Bears defense is good.
Bears defense is the truth. Somewhere Herm Edwards is clapping. Every dinosaur that's on Twitter that tells you about playing to win the game, though, tells you, I don't care about stats. There's always a team like this that flies in the face of process, statistical analyses, and otherwise, and does. And they find ways to win games in different ways. This is right in my face because this process tells me that this should not be a 5-1 team. They shouldn't be. They're 5-1. I have to deal with that. I got to taste that bile in my mouth, and I hate it. But here they are, 5-1, and they deserve credit for it.
Game of the day yesterday, like a Big 12 shootout, man. Some Red River rivalry type deal. 42-36, Titans in overtime over the Texans. Derrick Henry ran for 212 and a pair. You run for 212 when you rip off a 94-yard touchdown. No one should be as big and as fast as him. These were 94 of the 601 yards the Titans had yesterday.
5-yard line. Henry, breaking free. 20, 25, off to the races. They may not catch him. They won't catch him. Touchdown, Tennessee.
Greg Gumbel on CBS. Deshaun Watson in the loss, 335, 4 touchdowns through the air. Texans are better with Romeo Crennel coaching them through 2 weeks than they were with Bill O'Brien. Ryan Tannehill was great, 364 and 4 scores, but it was the Derrick Henry show, wasn't it?
Certainly was. He's incredible. And this is now, usually this happens in late October. It's now middle October where they start hitting the ground and the offensive line gets working. Taylor Lewan may be a big loss for them ultimately on that front. They're worried that he's got himself an ACL injury. But this is what happens. All of a sudden, you know, Henry's kind of dancing around, doing okay through a few weeks. And then next thing you know, he's ripping off 160, 200 yards, et cetera. He was unbelievable. Houston's defense is an atrocity. They're terrible. I don't know when that happened, but it happened. They're garbage on that side of the ball. What a fun game.
That was a quick look back at some of the big action in the NFL yesterday. We'll get you more games later on Grant and Danny today. Coming up at the top of the hour, a peek into the quarterback position. How did Kyle Allen fare in his first full game? How do you compare it to what we saw from Dwayne Haskins? Does the offense really look any different? Is this just kind of how they're going to operate with the short passing? We'll get into all that next hour right here on The Fan. Grant Brent and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate everybody listening on a football Monday. The early of the two games, probably the sexier. I think we got a chance to have two great football games today, though. Kansas City, Buffalo, you got a couple of teams headed for the playoffs. We don't yet know about Arizona or Dallas in that regard, but I think it could be a close game. There's intrigue to see what the offense looks like with Andy Dalton. So as far as the schedule goes, to get two games today and both of them have plenty of meeting, one of them specific to the team we cover, let's go. Let's do this thing tonight.
I'm into it. And again, I want this to be more normal. I think Monday Night Football generally should start at 7 or 7:30. I could even make that small concession. Screw you, West Coast. Your time is all wrong. But the doubleheader Monday night kicks ass. It's really, really good, especially when you get a really good game, as you talked about. A couple of teams towards the top of their conferences coming off losses where they didn't look real good. And you would think they both get right back after it and give you, sort of their best efforts, talking about Buffalo and Kansas City. Arizona, meanwhile, needs a little get-right of their own. They started off everybody's darling and, lost to Detroit and haven't looked particularly good. They beat the Jets, but congratulations on that, I suppose. But, Dallas, of course, has the intrigue, A, because it's Dallas, but B, no Dak Prescott, but you went out and spent on a backup, not a lot of money, but you spent on a backup for this purpose, right, so that you wouldn't have that big of a drop-off if and when something happened to your starter. So I'm fascinated to see Dalton against the Cardinals. But, yeah, good night of football ahead.
I also just like watching Kyler Murray as well. It's time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
GP, I'll get into what happened with the Wolfpack over the weekend tomorrow. I still need some time to process, but I'll give you this. Saturday, the Hooray family went and visited one of my wife's former coworkers. They worked together for a long time, very closely. He and his family live out Old 66 in the general, I want to say, the Gainesville area. So they're out a ways on Sis West. And the worst road in the country struck again. On my way back home at 10 o'clock at night, stand still traffic during a pandemic on a Saturday night at 10 p.m. with our children, who are not supposed to be up at that point. They usually go to bed. The youngest goes to bed at 8:45. The oldest goes to bed about 9:15, sometimes even 9:30 for crazy special treats. Abso-smurfly melting down in the backseat of our car. The standstill traffic, which we were in for approximately 80 minutes to get back from the greater Gainesville area towards the Washington, D.C. area, was staggering and stunning. And it's the worst road in the world. It's the worst road that we have. One day, maybe they'll finish building it. I don't know when that's going to be. I know that it's not done, and all the hot fixes and the hot lanes and the tolls and everything else, this is the worst road we have. It's just about the worst humanity has to offer. I hate it. There's no other way to go. I wish there was, but I was stuck on Saturday night on 66 eastbound, headed back home.
There are probably worse, more infuriating things that can happen, right? But in terms of like non-life-altering, terrible news that you can get that ruins your month, the sitting in traffic because of construction or an accident or whatever, late at night when you just expect to be going 70 miles an hour on the highway, I think it's as bad as it gets. Mm-hmm. I'll speak for myself, but this happens to me during the fall generally in winter. I would say once every couple of weeks coming back from NBC Sports Washington. Normally the Capitals are playing right now and I'm doing pre and post, and driving back home around the Beltway from Bethesda mm-hmm. to Northern Virginia, I would say about once a week or so I get hit in like Tyson's Corner. They're just building. They're doing always whatever it is that they're doing. And you're sitting there with those red lights and your car is in park and there's nowhere for you to go. And it's you should be in bed. A lot of the time for me it's like 12:20 in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going, there's nothing worse than this. Well, give me something that just isn't that big of a deal. Like, it's the opposite of winning off the field. What is worse than that?
Very little to me. I don't know why it's as blood boiling as it is, but it is. Like, my wife and her family, they have this amazing ability where they go. For example, I'll give you a quick example. When we went to the beach during the summertime, like, my instinct is to do whatever I possibly have to do to avoid traffic. It's the most important thing to me. Let's leave at 3. Let's leave at 4 a.m. Let's leave at any time so we don't have traffic. Let's get down there and then we can figure out what to do. Their point is, we're going to have to spend time before we can get into the house, no matter what, whether it's in traffic or otherwise, it's fine. Time is time. I don't feel that way. To me, there's no worse time than traffic time. None. I will do whatever I have to do. I will avoid it at all costs. I'd rather not go than be in traffic. And yet, they can deal with it. I cannot. I don't know what that says about me, but it's true.
Well, I'm with you. And it says that we're probably childish and immature or something, or we're not adults. I don't know. But we can sit in the car, not in traffic together, going 80 on the highway, being immature. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan, your Beltway Blitz.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.